An Introduction to the Mating Practices of Loons, A Personal Anecdote, Hollander, 2013. By Warm Porridge, read by Kath. Summary. Fresh out of a loss against Russia in the 2008 Prospect Cup, Shane Hollander decides to take up a scholarship with McGill instead of getting drafted. It changes everything, and yet nothing at all. Or the story of how Shane chose the rigors of academia for the Loons, and Ilya is still a hockey player for Boston. A love story.
Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Just like me, they long to be close to you.
Ottawa, 1995. Shane's first waking memory isn't of cold ice, set to the cacophony of scratching skates and the weight of a stick in his hands. That's his second memory. Shane is 4 when he comes face to face with a loon. He remembers being fascinated with the bird, toddling after it as it flies away at the water's edge. "Birdie," he yells, hoping it will come back like his neighbor's dog. It doesn't. He bursts into tears. He remembers his mother rushing towards him and engulfing him in a hug. "Oh, honey," Yuna says, running her hand down a hiccuping Shane's back. "You've scared it off. Birds aren't like doggies. You have to be really quiet and still, or they'll run away." "But I want to play with it," Shane says between sobs. "They're so small, aren't they?" Yuna laughs, wiping the snot off her son's face. "And you're so big. Aren't you scared of adults sometimes?" Shane considers and nods into his mother's shoulder. "Birdies are scared too?" Yuna nods, gently pulling Shane away from their embrace. "Just like you, honey. So you gotta be quiet and watch them from afar." Shane takes his mother's advice the next day, staking out a fair distance away from the lake. Sure enough, the bird returns. He watches it for the afternoon, fascinated by the way it flies around and ducks into the water, fish in its mouth. He wants to cheer and run to tell his mother, but remembers that he must be still and quiet. His mother joins him at some point, quietly settling herself on the grass next to him. "Having fun, Shane?" Shane nods, never once taking his eyes off the bird. It makes that weird call again. He turns to his mother, a question in his eyes. "It made the call," she nods. "Birds make different sounds to tell other birds something." "Wow," Shane exclaims loudly before remembering himself. He smiles, whispering to his mother, "Mama, you said it was a loon, right?" Yuna giggles and nods. "That's a loon. It lives in the water." "Can you tell me more?" Something twinkles in Shane's eyes. Unbeknownst to anyone at that time, Shane Hollander, loon expert, was born. Regina, December 2008. The thing is, Shane is damn good at hockey. Like, really good. Good enough that the national team scouts him for their junior team. The thing is, Shane is also damn good at research. He regularly goes down rabbit holes for fun. Hell, just the other day, he went down the research rabbit hole comparing hockey tape brands because his current role was running low. Did he really need to find a different brand of tape? Debatable. There was just something about his current one that didn't sit right. It made him feel better about it after he was done and came to the conclusion that, yes, he was not crazy for wanting a different brand. So, Shane is really good at research, but especially about birds. And in particular, the loon. Shane is 17 when he's offered a full ride to McGill to study biology. His father jokes that he's following in his footsteps. But really, Shane knows he would not find a life in the public service at all. In fact, there are really only two places he can see himself. At the rink, or hiding in some grass patch with a pair of binoculars in hand. Still, just because McGill has extended an offer, it doesn't mean he'll accept it just yet. He's in the middle of Saskatchewan to represent Canada in the Prospect Cup, after all. And with how well things in the hockey part of his life have been going so far, his mother is confident some MLH team will come knocking on his door too. Shane sighs, pacing the dusty old parking lot behind the rink. It is cold and the locker room is filled with too much excited chatter. He just needs a breather and a chance to think. His life currently boils down to two choices. Do well in the Prospect Cup and get drafted into the MLH. Or spend the next 6 years of his life chasing his ultimate childhood dream of researching birds. Not that hockey wasn't a dream. It's just that loons went out sometimes. Shane sighs again. He knows the pros and cons of both choices by heart. He has written it down by hand over and over, hoping that the result would change and he would get some clarity for once. Logically, he knows that he wouldn't be a professional hockey player all his life. But unlike other players, Shane is also fairly confident that he would go quite far if he chose to make a career out of it. The conclusion isn't made out of his own hubris. Objectively, he knows he's one of the best in the Western Hemisphere. He really could make it if he keeps it up. But God, the scholarship is right there. McGill wants him now, both as a student, and they probably wouldn't say no to him playing hockey for them either. It's unlikely that McGill would want him after he's an old retired hockey player with a few less brain cells than he has now. And if he is honest, as much as Shane loves learning and researching, the idea of going back to school at 40 after a whole hockey career is daunting. Yeah, there's no easy way out of it. Shane breathes in the cold air to settle his fraying nerves. Whether it's because of the competition or the product of his brain working a million miles an hour is hard to tell. He rounds the corner, intent on finishing his lap around the complex, before he finds his parents again, and finds a boy his age with curly hair, back turned to him, and the distinct sound of a lighter. Ilya Rozanov? Shane finds himself calling out. Loss always has been a bitter pill to swallow for Shane. He could have done more. Maybe fought against Russia's defenses a little more. Maybe worked on his own team's defenses, too. He was the captain, for heaven's sake. So many variables, and yet only one of him. The thing with hockey being a team sport is the variables that make it impossible for Shane to fully predict. He could play perfectly on ice, but the moment something goes wrong, that's it. The loss stings. Shane makes a decision. Ottawa, December 2009. Shane finds Rozanov again, as though he's left the Russian in a random parking lot at the Prospect Cup for a year, back turned to Shane and struggling with a lighter. You really shouldn't be smoking, Shane says in greeting. Rozanov, for his part, seems to jump at his voice. He whips around to face Shane with an incredulous expression. You were not drafted, Rozanov says, not wasting a single moment. Why? Shane shrugs. Why would Rozanov care? I started college. Rozanov pauses, looks at Shane as though he's grown two heads. But you are good at hockey. I know, Shane nods. I play in college still. It's nice. Rozanov eyes him. They are not as good as me. Not many are, Shane admits. You're still amazing to watch. The Russian blinks, as if you were not expecting Shane to still be watching his games. He puts out the cigarette and steps into Shane's space, a smirk on his face. So, you admit it. He's so close that Shane can smell the cigarettes on him. That I am better than you, yes. Fuck off, Shane glares. You said I was good. I will beat you, again. Shane huffs. Not happening this time. Maybe ever again. It's probably the last time he'll ever see Ilya Rozanov, Shane realizes. Rozanov looks at him, stoic, and nods. Will you go play in MLH? Rozanov says. Shane shakes his head. Not for a few years, no. If they'll even want me. Rozanov sucks in a sharp inhale. Then this is our last game, yes? Rozanov sticks out a hand. Good luck. Shane takes it and shakes firmly. I don't need it. Rozanov smiles, cocky, and walks away. What a waste, he hollers behind him. Revenge is a dish best served cold. Winning is an addictive feeling, and winning against Ilya Rozanov is euphoric. Shane loves playing hockey, loves it even more when his opponent is a real challenge. Sure, he's stuck playing at the collegiate level, but no other player has come close to the challenge Ilya Rozanov gives him. It's as though Rozanov gives a shit that this is their last real game together. Until maybe the Olympics, if Shane is lucky. Or if Shane plays for the MLH in a few years. Rozanov is relentless, even more than he was last year. Shane relishes everything Rozanov gives him, knowing he will never experience this again. The Russian handshake line is somber, as Shane, the sportsman that he is, wishes his opponents a good game. The Russians are stoic, as they always are, perhaps even more so than usual. When he gets to Rozanov, his now ex-rival's face is more sad than he is bitter or angry about the loss. Rozanov gives him a half-hearted handshake. Something that feels like annoyance bubbles up within Shane, threatening to pull the upturn of his lips down into a growl. Why the fuck is Rozanov such a sore loser? Shane wordlessly glares at him as he sticks his hand out for Rozanov's teammate behind him. Well, so much for mutual respect. Not even a good game or a fuck off. Silence. Shane is angry and bitter by the time he reaches the end of the handshake line. What an asshole. Well, at least he'll never have to see Rozanov again. Hollander! Shane turns to Rozanov, yelling at him from his side of the boards. Rozanov waves back at him as his Russian coaches stare. We'll play again someday. It is Shane's turn to pause. He can't help the smile that graces his lips. Their Canadian and Russian teammates must think they're insane. He knows that the commentators are probably eating up their display of sportsmanship, their rivalry short-lived as it is. Shane can't really find it in himself to care. Not when he returns to college next week. Fuck off, Rozanov! Shane yells back, waving at Rozanov as he steps off the ice. I'll beat you again. Rozanov flips him off, a smile plastered on his face, before finally leaving the ice. Shane tells himself that he must be imagining Rozanov's gaze on him as he leaves through the tunnel. Montreal, October 2010. Like clockwork, the fall semester at McGill begins with a flurry of introductory classes, freshman orientation camps, which Shane avoids, too much socialization in 1 week, and the distinct feeling of figuring out how to be a student again after a long break. Summer had been filled with more independent research into the resident flock of loons at his parents' cottage in Ottawa, hockey with a local team, and several devastating matches watching the centaurs getting wiped at home, and volunteering with the local bird society. All in all, a pretty good summer for Shane. Life as a sophomore begins not too differently from last year. If anything, Shane feels more settled into the routine of academia and collegiate hockey. Hayden is still his roommate, thank God, so that makes the whole return to routine painless. Still, though, in the first few weeks back, school loses its shine. Shane finds himself up to his eyeballs in research papers once more, with the hell of finals looming over him. "I'm so sick of this," Hayden grumbles from his desk. They should be studying for some random core life science module they both have together, designated by Shane's Excel sheet, of course. "I need to get out and get laid."
"Dude, you're barely past the first page," Shane grumbles, glasses perched on his nose as he highlights part of the text. Hayden groans, head thunking against the desk. Shane pays him no mind.
"Boston is playing tonight," Hayden says, perking up a minute later. "Do you think JJ can get us in?" Shane pauses, his highlighting mid-sentence. "That's tonight?" Distantly, he knew Boston was playing Montreal around this period. He didn't expect it to be today. "Dear Lord," Shane thinks, he's already lost track of time.
"What?" Hayden exclaims, scandalized. "You haven't heard how your asshole ex-rival claimed he would score 50 goals this season instead of 40?
"Well, no. Shane was too busy actually reading through the lecture materials for that week."
"He's what, 8 goals in?"
Shane surprises himself with that statistic.
"Exactly. What an asshole. The season has barely started," Hayden exclaims again, exasperated.
"Okay, you're hot shit. So what?
God, he's so annoying."
Shane shrugs. "Who cares? He's not my rival anymore." The truth is, it's been almost a year since he last saw Rozanov. He still thinks about that match in Ottawa, and Rozanov's arrogant smirk, and the way Rozanov smelled like cigarette smoke and cologne. He won't ever admit to staying up late in the summer to watch tape of Rozanov's first few games with the Raiders. The games with the college team are great. He has a good line and a good goalie. They dominate U Sports easily, narrowly missing out on the podium. Shane is fairly confident they'll podium this year. But nobody has ever come close to the challenge Rozanov gave him on ice.
"Yeah, but he's a Raider," Hayden hisses. "Montreal is like legally obligated to hate them."
"You think they'll start burning Rozanov's jersey before the game?"
"I wouldn't be surprised. He's an asshole."
"So you agree?" Hayden hums.
"Fuck it. I'm texting JJ. If there aren't tickets, we're going for drinks."
In the end, Montreal loses 3-4. They don't get tickets, but Hayden pulls up the game on his laptop, and they watch Rozanov win the last face-off. Drinking with JJ is a consolation, not a celebration. Shane nurses his ginger ale at the counter of the bar as their friend laments about the loss and Rozanov's antics on the ice.
"What the fuck is his deal?"
JJ takes a swig of his beer.
"Seriously, Wilson nearly dropped his gloves and the asshole grinned like a maniac. It's like he gets hard when he pisses people off."
"It's Rozanov," Hayden says sympathetically, patting JJ on the shoulder. "What did you expect? Hollanders chirping?"
"Fuck off, Pike," Shane huffs.
"He's still bad at it?" JJ asks.
"Terrible," Hayden mourns, like a child who just learned to swear.
"I'm right the fuck here, assholes," Shane reminds them.
"Yeah," JJ sighs. "If only you became a Metro, we'd be winning more often instead of getting beaten by Boston at home."
Shane says nothing and zips his ginger ale, too tired to defend his choice to go to university instead of pro hockey. Sensing this, JJ wraps an arm around Shane's shoulder.
"I don't mean it that way," he says quietly. "You're the best stand player in McGill and the entire college league. I'm sure there are still scouts after you."
"They are. They're begging. Many big dollar signs," Hayden says flatly.
"But you would have easily beaten Rozanov tonight," JJ squeezes his shoulder once before letting go. I guess loons are better than cracked ribs, though. Two more birds, less cracked ribs, and less concussions. Shane holds up his drink and cheers as Hayden and JJ meet his glass with their own with a small clink. The noise increases as they take a swig of their drinks. Shane pays it no mind. "The girl to your left in the skirt," JJ stretches past Shane to whisper in Hayden's ear. "She's been looking at you." Shane turns, Hayden doing the same. They look back quickly at each other. "Well, damn," Hayden says, before downing the rest of his drink. "I'll be back, gentlemen." Shane wrinkles his nose. "Text if you're sexiling me." Hayden winks. "Oh, I will." JJ Wolf whistles as Hayden walks past. "Guess you're rooming with me," he says to Shane. Shane rolls his eyes. He hopes the fuck not. "Fuck off, I'm not," he tells JJ, hopping off the stool. "I'm going to the bathroom." JJ doesn't try to stop him, probably used to his excuse for air. Bars and clubs aren't Shane's scene. He merely needs a break from all the noise. He's almost to the door when he recognizes the Raiders' winger, Marlowe. Then he notices the rest of the Raiders hugging the perimeter of the room, fresh drinks in hand. So that was the source of the noise, Shane realizes. The whole enemy hockey team was celebrating their win at the bar JJ was commiserating in. The irony would be hilarious and enough material for Shane to chirp JJ about. The thought is quickly dropped when his gaze falls on a head of curls, belonging to a man he hasn't seen in nearly a year. Rozanov's back is to him as the girl he's talking to laughs and throws herself at him. Shane can't see how Rozanov reacts. Still, he isn't doing anything to dissuade her. Not when she's pressing a kiss to his neck. Shane looks away quickly, embarrassed by such a display. He begs his legs to move. They do not listen. He hazards a glance back at Rozanov to find the Russian looking back at him, surprise written on his face. Shane quickly looks back down at the floor and all but marches out the door into the cold night. He walks out to the dark alley next to the bar and paces. "Fuck," Shane huffs, heart racing a million beats per minute. "What the fuck was that?" Also, what the fuck was his life to encounter Ilya Rozanov at a bar in Montreal, of all places? The door swings open again as quick footsteps make their way to him. Shane forces himself to look up, eyes landing on a crucifix that hangs proudly on Rozanov's neck. "Hollander." Rozanov sounds as breathless as Shane is. "Rozanov," Shane tries to say as evenly as possible. "What are you doing here?" Rozanov asks. "In Montreal. Don't tell me you watch Boston's games." "Yes." "Fuck off." Shane can't help but scoff. "My university is in Montreal. I play for McGill." "Whoa, McGill," Rozanov mock gasps. God, he's so annoying. Shane wants to punch him. "What the fuck is McGill? Is McGill a town?" Shane laughs incredulously, the tension in his body releasing. Why the fuck is he talking about university outside a bar in a dark alley with Rozanov of all people, as though they were old friends? His eyes finally meet Rozanov's own, filled with something like mirth. "It's a really good school." Rozanov takes a step closer, close enough that Shane can smell the familiar combination of cigarettes and cologne. "So you must be smart then," Rozanov says. Shane shrugs. "The scholarship counts for something, I guess." "Ah." Rozanov takes a step closer, as if testing Shane's boundaries. Shane does not mind, unable to look away. "Dr. Hollander." "Fuck off." "Mr. Smarty Pants." "Wow," Shane says flatly. "Those English words really roll off your tongue." "I've been practicing," Rozanov shrugs nonchalantly. "It's boring when you start winning every game. No challenge. At least the stupid language is challenging." "And yet," Shane finds himself smirking, "only 8 goals out of 50. Too bored to score, apparently. How's your fancy English helping with your chirping? A shocked laugh bubbles out of Rozanov. 10 as of tonight. So you've been watching? Maybe if you spent less time chirping, you'd be scoring more goals, says Shane defiantly. By now, I would have 12. Big talk from college player, Rozanov drawls. Maybe you would know if you play on MLH ice.
Make it worth my time, and maybe I'll consider it in a few years. Shane doesn't know when a small smile graces his features. When did Rozanov get so close? If Shane reaches out just a little, he can.
A soft pair of lips meets his without warning, and pulls away just as quickly. A gentle hand holds Shane's jaw in place. Rozanov looks at him with a question in his eyes. Shane is helpless as he nods, permitting his ex-rival to draw him back into a hot and desperate kiss.
Fuck, Shane moans, his brain finally catching up.
He puts a hand on Rozanov's chest, desperate for distance, but does not miss the way Rozanov's lips chase after his own.
Not here.
I have a hotel room, Rozanov offers. I room alone. Different floor from everyone.
Fuck, Shane says wisely.
It was either a hotel full of hockey players or his pitiful dorm room with Hayden. And fuck, he didn't really want to be separated from Rozanov right now. Let's go.
It takes everything in them to separate and book an Uber back to Rozanov's hotel.
The ride is excruciating with how their hands are intertwined in a tight grip.
Shane barely has half a mind to drop JJ a quick text that he's left the bar, too drunk on Rozanov's touch to care.
The hallway is pleasantly empty when they arrive. Rozanov wastes no time in slamming Shane against the wall of his hotel room the moment the door clicks shut. Rozanov is everywhere all at once, touching and holding Shane in all the ways that matter.
Shane allows himself to let go, allows himself to follow Rozanov's lead, as clothes are pushed off, fallen, forgotten on the floor. Shane is too caught up in Rozanov's lips to worry. Thoughts forgotten when Rozanov sucks a bruise into his neck. It's only when Rozanov flops down next to him on the bed, lips swollen and wet from sucking Shane off, that the post-nut clarity hits.
Holy fuck! Shane's brain whirs to life. Fucking hell!
I can hear you panicking, Rozanov quips beside him. Did you not like it?
No, Shane says quickly, getting up. I mean no. Fuck.
Hollander.
Rozanov sits up, concern laced in his voice. He touches Shane's shoulder.
Hollander, you are having panic attack.
Fuck off, Shane snaps, flinging Rozanov's hand off him. I'm not.
You do not have to force yourself, Rozanov says with a terrifying flatness.
Shane looks at him and sees a blank expression on Rozanov's face.
We never have to see each other again.
That's not the problem, Shane says quickly. Fuck, the opposite. I want to see you again, but...
But what, Hollander?
Your career, Shane exclaims. You like women.
Both, actually.
God, Shane groans, hiding his face in his hands. What the fuck was the point of being so academically smart when he couldn't think his way out of this one?
Rozanov is quiet for a moment. You won't tell. We both have same secret, yes?
Shane peels his face from his hands.
Yes?
There's something like hope that leaks through Rozanov's stoic expression. Shane finds it endearing, wisely shutting himself up to let Rozanov talk.
I want to see you again, Rozanov says,
with a strange conviction in his eyes.
Okay, Shane breathes out. Relief overwhelms him.
Okay. Rozanov reaches out and presses a tentative kiss to Shane's forehead.
Give me your phone.
Shane stills. Rozanov rolls his eyes, drumming his fingers on his thighs impatiently.
You have phone. Give.
Shane obliges, getting up and rummaging through his crumpled jeans for his phone, nose wrinkling at how all his clothes are in piles on the floor. He really should be folding them. Phone secured, he turns to Rozanov, sitting on the edge of the bed, barely covered with a blanket, an expectant handout waiting for Shane's phone. Shane watches as Rozanov saves his number under Lily and hands it back to him. Shane laughs. And what's my name? Rozanov's fingers are flying over the keyboard of his own phone. Shane's phone vibrates. Jane. Interlude. Regina, December 2008. Ilya Rozanov is 15 when a tape of some random Canadian boy is shoved in front of him.
Watch him, his coach hisses.
If Ilya was being honest, he understands why. The boy, Hollander, skates fast and fires pucks like a dream. He is leagues above everyone else. He is competition. And before Ilya knows it, Shane Hollander stands in front of him in a dusty parking lot in the middle of some random corner in Canada, with his freckles out in proud display, chiding him about his cigarette and congratulating him, only for the Canadian boy to lose. Well, so much for competition. Shane Hollander was so easy to beat. Ilya's a liar. He's never been challenged this much on the ice before. It is thrilling. He wants more. See you at the draft, Ilya smirks. Says Hollander. Maybe? Ilya whips his head back to look incredulously at his new Canadian rival, only to meet the back of a black helmet as they're both swept away by the handshake line. What the fuck? Los Angeles, June 2009. Ilya smiles at the flashing of cameras, Boston jersey on proud display. The second and third draft picks flank his sides. Nobody's, Ilya does not know. Nor does he care enough to know. Shane Hollander is not there. What the actual fuck? It does not make sense, Ilya thinks to himself. Hollander should have been number two. Being the first pick and getting drafted to a team like the Boston Raiders is everything Ilya had ever worked hard for. Everything he's ever wanted. He's busted his ass to be something greater than the KLH. All for this moment. And yet, it feels strangely incomplete. The end. Thank you for listening.